Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we continue our adventure in science fiction with X-1. This series stands out as some of the highest quality radio drama of the mid-1950s. The series featured stories written by some of the leading science fiction writers of the 20th century. We have two episodes that will give you chills. First, a drama set among a group of survivors of a nuclear holocaust, and after that we have a mystery that is related to flying saucers. These sophisticated dramas were not designed for children. Enjoy X-1, The Moon is Green, first broadcast January 2, 1957 on NBC.
Countdown for blast-off. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-1.
Tonight, the time after the next atomic war, the place somewhere in the United States, the story, The Moon is Green by Fritz Leiber.
The moon was green. Green as emeralds, green as leaves, green as grass. I reached my arms toward it and let it bathe me. I closed my eyes and let it kiss me.
Effie! Effie, where are you?
Oh, dear Lord, he mustn't see it. It's so beautiful and he always kills beauty.
Effie!
In the bedroom, Hank! Oh, I've got to close the shutters before he comes. I mustn't. Myself.
Effie! What the devil are you doing? Close those shutters, you fool! Come away from there. You're trying to destroy yourself and me, too. You know those shutters are not safe to open for another 5 years.
I only wanted to look at the moon.
The moon? Here, count yourself for radiation. You know what the Central Committee would do to you for breaking the lead shield?
Kill me? I wouldn't mind.
Don't talk like that.
Would it be so different from being shut up in a lead coffin the way we are now? It'd be worse than the eternal thud of the air conditioners and the radiation filters.
Be still and count yourself. Good Lord. We're past the danger zone. Oh, wait a minute. Did you take off your watch?
No.
Well, give it to me. You fool. You little fool. What am I going to do with you? Can't you understand what kind of a world you're living in? Can't you?
Oh, yes, husband. I can understand only too well. It's the world that can't seem to understand. The world that went on stockpiling hydrogen bombs. The world that started testing those bombs. Telling itself it hadn't really exploded enough to make the air dangerous. And then began to throw them across continents, one nation against another. It lasted about 2 months. And after that, the fury. The fury of doomed men who thought only of taking with them as many of the enemy as possible. After the fury came the time of terror. Men and women with death sifting into their bones and through their nostrils, fighting for bare survival under a dust-hazed sky that played fantastic tricks with the light of the sun and the green light of the moon. The only chance for existence was to claim one of those underground radiation-shielded places. They went to the strong. And afterward, the waiting behind the lead shields. The endless, interminable waiting.
You understand, I suppose, that we were allowed to reclaim this ground-level apartment only because the committee believed us to be responsible people. And because I've been making a darn good showing lately.
Yes, Hank, I understand.
It's a privilege to have some privacy, you know. I could send you back to the basement tenements. Would you like that?
Oh, no. Anything rather than that fetid huddling and that shameless communal sprawl. Yet is this really so much better? Being on the surface is meaningless. It only tantalizes. And yet...
Well?
No, no, Hank. I don't want to go back underneath.
Well, then try to behave yourself. Coming up through the tunnel just now, I decided I'd better talk to you. Frankly, Effie, the committee's beginning to be a little concerned about our lack of children.
Oh.
Charlie Baker asked me this morning if I'd like my name put on the list for a free woman.
You needn't bother.
What do you mean?
I mean, we're going to have a baby.
We... Effie, are you sure?
Yes.
Effie, that's wonderful. It's magnificent. Do you realize what this means to my rating with the committee? You know how important it is to the community to raise healthy members for the day when we can resume the surface war.
Yes, I've heard the broadcast.
We'll announce it at the meeting of the junior committee tonight.
Tonight?
Well, you hadn't forgotten about it, had you? It's the annual banquet. Now, you brighten yourself up and put on your best dress. I want the other juniors to see what a handsome wife the new member has got. What's the trouble now?
Well, I'm terribly sorry, Hank, but you'll have to go alone. I'm really not well.
There you go again. First the infantile, inexcusable business of opening the lead shutter, and now this. Don't you know what this could mean to my reputation, Effie?
I'm sorry.
You're coming, Effie. This is just neurotic pampering.
Hank, I'll just be sick, and you wouldn't be proud of me at all.
Now listen, Effie. Tonight's too important. It'll cause a lot of bad comment. If a new member's wife isn't present. Now, you know how just a hint of sickness starts all kinds of rumors about radiation disease. Now, what do you say?
No.
Effie, you're going. There's nothing wrong with you if I have
Hank,
to...
Hank! You're hurting my arm. It isn't good for the baby.
Oh, the baby? I'd almost forgotten. Oh, no, we have to be very careful. Well, I suppose if I explain to them you aren't there because of the baby, it will make a difference.
Yes, I'll just stay here alone till you come back. When will you be back?
Well, those things usually go on pretty late. So if you're expecting company, you needn't worry.
Hank?
Yes, Effie?
Do you remember when we were first married?
Of course I remember.
You liked to go skiing, remember? You said it was like feeding a hunger for beauty being up on a mountain covered with snow.
What are you talking about?
You forgot.
I haven't forgotten. I have just as much desire to get outside as you do, but I know there's no chance for me. I've got to see that my children and their children survive to see the sun again. We've got to behave like adults. To make sacrifices, we've got to keep the strain pure.
Hank, what do you suppose it's like for them?
For whom?
The freaks and the mutants. The outsiders.
What do you know about them?
I remember some of the pariahs. They were hairless, cringing creatures with radiation welts all over their bodies. They came begging to be taken in during the last months of the terror. The committee ordered them shot down, just like dogs.
We don't like to talk about that.
Hank, are they still out there?
Effie, this is the sort of talk that's just morbid.
Are they?
Yes! There are still humans out there. At least they were humans. They know better than to come near the shelters now.
Poor creature.
I can't stand here discussing this nonsense all night. I have to get going. For the last time, are you sure you won't come down with me?
No. I'll wait here.
Don't you get lonely?
No.
I was talking to Jim Barnes today. He told me he wasn't going to be able to make it to the banquet either. Touch of the old flu, he said. That isn't like him, is it?
Effie, are you listening?
What?
You remember Jim Barnes, don't you? He used to be sweet on you. Said you had the soul of a poet.
Well, yes, I remember him. Why?
Never mind. Well, I guess I got a bit sharp with you. I'm sorry about that. I was excited about being made a junior and the baby and all. Selfish of me, I apologize. As you get to bed early, I'll probably go over to the men's dorm for a while after the meeting. You'll be completely alone for the next 4 hours. Do you mind?
What? Oh, no.
Good night, Effie.
He looked at me strangely, and then his features returned to their usual harder, more calculating expression. Was it possible that he had sensed my very dream? Had it been a dream? Oh, it must have been. It wasn't possible that it had really happened. It had just been an illusion, a silly projection out of my starved romantic imagination. I waited until Hank's footsteps vanished down in the tunnel. And then I waited until I heard it. No, it isn't possible. There's nothing out there. Nothing but deformed monsters. I mustn't open the shutters. I mustn't. Oh, dear Lord, I've got to know. I've got to know. I've got to.
Bueno, so you haven't forgotten our meeting after all.
You.
And what are you expecting someone else?
It wasn't a dream. You really were out there last night.
Oh, yes, on the night before.
I was afraid I dreamed it. I still think it's a dream.
Lean out into the moonlight a moment.
Is this a dream?
Oh. Or was it a flesh and blood kiss?
And your name is Patrick.
Aye?
Patrick.
Well, now, did you open the window to find God's own breath, the fresh evening air, or did you open it to invite me in?
Oh, of course. Come in.
Come, Joe Lewis. Ah, here, now, let me head you. Being a cat with 12 toes on each foot and ears like boxing gloves is a bit cumbersome. I have to help with a bit, you see. Come on, now, laddie.
There, now. Is your husband about?
No, he won't be home for a while.
Well, still, I'd better close the door.
Oh, no. Leave them open.
The radiation?
I don't care. I want to see the moonlight.
Would you have a bit of food? Joe Lewis and I are starved for a bite to eat.
Oh, Yes. Yes, I'll get it.
Oh, Effie.
Yes?
Oh, but you're a fair creature.
Thank you. His face wasn't horrible at all. Only thin and sensitive and terribly sad. And there were no radiation welts or scars on his skin. He looked just as he had looked that first night when I opened the ledge shutter and saw him crouched at the window. And now I knew it had been no dream. He was an outsider, a pariah. He was my love. Here's some canned meat and a food pill, and I put on some water for coffee.
Ah, oh, bless your room. Come on now, Joe. Here's a bit of meat for your black soul to feed on. He's hungry, poor creature. Well, then. Sit down, girl, where I can look at you.
All right.
Have you missed me?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I've had some thoughts of you, I dare say.
Talk to me.
Of what?
Tell me again about outside, what it's like.
Again?
Again and again.
Well, now, outside... You say the coffee's heating?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, it is a wonderland for sure. More amazing than you and your entombed folk could ever imagine, a veritable fairyland.
Tell me the truth about
the truth? I am telling you the truth, my love.
But the bombs and the dust made only ugliness.
At first. But then they changed the life and the seed of them that were brave enough to stay. Wonders beyond wondering bloomed and walked. Well, have none of you been outside?
Well, the radiation teams go up into the ruined buildings once or twice a year to find canned food and batteries. But they can only work for a few minutes at a time.
Ah, sure, those blind-souled slugs could never see anything but food and batteries anyway.
Oh, tell me what you see, beyond the city, I mean.
Ah, there are gardens there. Gardens where a dozen buds blossom for every one before. And the flowers have petals a yard across.
Oh.
And there are stingless bees as big as sparrows soaking their nectar.
But did the radiation make all the cats like this one?
Like this runt? Why, no, girl. They are grown spotted and huge as leopards. But they're gentle beasts, for the dust has burned all the murder out of every living thing.
Well, Hank says the dust kills.
Would you like to hear the poem I made?
Yes.
I'd say it. Fire can hurt me, or water, or the weight of earth. But by some curious coincidence, the dust is my friend.
Oh, more.
Well, then, there are robins like cockatoos and squirrels like a prince's ermine, all under a treasure chest of sun and moon and stars that the dust changes from ruby to emerald and sapphire. And there are... What is it, love? What's that look for?
There's one thing you've never told me about.
And what is that?
The children. The new children.
Ah, now the truth.
The truth.
The truth?
Promise.
I swear on the skin of my cat here. The children, is it, huh? Well, now, if you'd ever catch a glimpse of one of them, you'd never doubt me again. They have long limbs and smiling, delicate faces and white teeth and the finest hair. They're so nimble that... Well, that even I, a sprightly man and somewhat enlivened by the dust, feel crippled beside them, and their thoughts dance like flames.
But what's wrong with them, Patrick?
Wrong? Nay, love, there's nothing wrong. Different, perhaps, than you, but not wrong.
Well, tell me.
Well, then, they do have 7 fingers on each hand and 8 toes on either foot. But they're much more beautiful for it. And they have large, beautiful ears that the sun shines through. So lovely and delicate to behold.
How do they behave? Their minds.
Not as you and I, perhaps. They play happily in the gardens all day long, laughing and finding joy in the simplest beauty.
Are they defective?
Well, now, by the standards out there, you're the defective one, shut up here all the while, hating and crawling in ugliness and feeling dirty. No, they're quite lovely. And they're quite perfect, the new children.
Oh, You're telling the truth. You're not making it up.
It is true, every word of it. Oh, I'll admit you have to look a bit hard to find these things I've been telling you. But find them you may. Do you believe me?
Oh, yes. Yes, I believe you. But I'm afraid.
Give me your hand.
Here.
Now listen to me. You must not be afraid to do as your heart tells you. That's why I'm here.
Oh, Patrick. Patrick.
Don't either of you move.
Oh, Hank, I...
Stay there, I'll bless both of you.
Hank, but...
Carrying on like this and not even with a man of the community, with an outcast, a pariah.
No,
man, I know what you're thinking, but you're wrong. I just happened to be coming by hungry, a lonely tramp, and I knocked at the shutter and your wife was a bit foolish and let her kind heart get the best of it.
Do you think you can sell me that?
Hank, please.
So you're going to have a child, my dear. My child?
Yes, your child.
Ah, I should pull this trigger right now. I should shoot him down in cold blood.
Man, you're mad. I never touched your wife.
You contaminated pariah. You're going to die, don't you know that?
Hank. Hank, if you kill him, you kill the bringer of the best news we've ever had. Oh, Hank, put aside your jealousy for just a minute and listen to me. Patrick has something wonderful to tell us, all of us.
What do you mean?
I mean that we need no longer fear the dust. Oh, Hank, remember how it was with me, all the exposure I had, and yet there were no burns. Hank, those who were brave enough to stay outside have adapted. They've become a beautiful people.
Did he tell you that?
Everything that grew or moved was purified.
He filled you with lies so he could take you...
No, it's true. The radioactivity is almost gone, burned out.
Effie, I've been out there. It's horrid.
No, no, no. You've been blinded. Blinded to beauty. Blinded to living.
Good Lord, you believe it.
It's true. It must be true. Look at Patrick. He's living proof. He's been outside for a year and there isn't a mark on him, not a scar. It's because he's brave. And the dust can't hurt the brave.
Well, you think that's it, huh? All right, Effie, I'm going to prove something to you. You, Patrick, take this radiation counter. Take it.
Very well.
Press the button and count yourself. Go on.
As you say.
Read it. Read it!
1,700.
Yeah, you hear that, Effie? 1,700 radioactives, enough to kill 1,000. Then he's like raw radium. If you turn out the light, he'll glow green in the dark. A week's exposure to him will destroy you.
What are you proving, Hank?
That he's a freak. A freak! Get away from him. He's destroying you right now.
May I shut this thing off now?
Patrick. Is it true?
Yes, I'm afraid it's true.
Oh,
you do well to cringe, both of you. I'm living death. I'm death itself. As your husband so wisely said, I'm a freak. Just like the man who ate nails and walked on fire. Only my oddity is that for some unknown reason, the dust can't harm me. I'm the only one. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Not too close now. And examine the man who couldn't die. And now, if you don't mind, I'll go back to my dead world. And leave you to yours.
Wait. All of those beautiful things.
It gets so lonely out there. And I was starved for beauty. And so were you.
There's no garden out there.
Garden? Listen to me, the both of you. What is out there is more terrible than either of you can imagine.
Worse than Hank, even. He only killed beauty once. But you brought it to life so you could kill it again. You're afraid. Afraid of the loneliness out there. Well, I'm not afraid.
Effie, keep away from the window.
No, I'm not afraid. Maybe there is no garden out there. And no beautiful, strange children to play happily. But there can be if we're brave enough.
Effie!
I'm going, Effie! I'm going, Effie!
Effie, come back, Effie!
It's no use trying to keep her, man.
Effie, come back! I love you! Come back!
It's no use, man.
There's still time. She stood the dust better than most. There's still time. You. The dust won't hurt you. Find her. Bring her back. I'll reward you. I'll give you food.
If you want her, you'll have to go yourself.
She'll die.
Maybe she won't.
How can you say such a thing?
Because perhaps she's like me. Aye. Perhaps the two of us together could be the first of a race that'll live in sunlight again.
Get against the wall where I can kill you easier.
Why would you kill me? Is killing all the answer you have to life's riddles? Is the smell of blood better than compassion? Is it more joy to own her than to be loved by her?
Move!
Man, you'll not kill me. Shall I tell you why? Because my flesh will not die. I live 1,000 years.
Not your brain, Patrick. And that's where this gun is aimed.
Well, then you leave me no choice. You get it!
Hey! Call him up! Put my arm! Go! Stop!
Well, then I have your weapon now. Out there, you see, we freaks have learned to live together and to cooperate. It's the only way we can stay alive. Oh, I'll give Effie your love. Come on, Joe. Oh, you'd better close the shutters as soon as we're gone. The moon is beautiful, but it's deadly.
I was waiting for him at the end of the ruined street. When we looked back, we saw Hank closing the lead shutters on himself. We were alone in the world. Above us, the moon was green. I bent and picked up a handful of the dust and let it trickle through my fingers. And I remembered the words of Patrick's poem. Fire can hurt me, or water, or the weight of the earth. But by some strange coincidence, the dust is my friend.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features Advance Agent by Christopher Anvil, the story of a spy who had the worst possible break. The disguise he had assumed was that of a famous man. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you The Moon is Green, a story from the pages of Galaxy, written by Fritz Leiber and adapted for radio by George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were Joyce Gordon as Effie, Bill Lifton as Hank, Ian Martin as Patrick, and Frank Milano as the Cat. This is Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Fred Way and is an NBC Radio Network production.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour with your host, Justine Ward, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. Next, we have another episode of X-1. This is a chilling drama about a shop full of animated dolls. You'll enjoy listening all the way through the surprise ending. This is X-1, Parigi's Wonderful Dolls, first broadcast June 5th, 1955, on NBC.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus 5, minus 4, minus 3, minus 2, X minus 1, fire! From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future. Adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company presents X minus one. Tonight, X minus one presents Pirigi's Wonderful Dolls by George Lefferts. The doll shop stood on a quiet Washington side street, not too far from the sprawling Pentagon building. A woman and child waited outside. The little girl peering eagerly through the window at the dolls inside. And the woman glancing impatiently at her wristwatch, as if expecting someone who was late for an appointment. There was nothing about the doll shop to warn them, but they were waiting to keep an appointment with Doom.
Mommy, look!
Hmm? What, dear?
In the window of the shop, the tiny dolls. Oh, Mommy, do you think Daddy will buy me one?
We'll ask him when he comes, dear. Should be here soon. He said 3 o'clock on this corner.
I see him, Mommy. See?
Oh, Henry, over here.
Hello, dear. I'm sorry I'm late.
Well, we're all ready to go shopping. Cindy's been...
I'm afraid we'll have to call off the shopping, Elmer.
Oh, Henry, we promised Cindy.
Well, I'm sorry, but it's just one of those things. You've been the wife of an army colonel long enough to know his life isn't his own.
What is it this time?
Some more of that flying sphere nonsense. The pilot who says he sighted it last month crashed and was killed today, and the general wants a full report.
Oh, dear. What next?
Well, I got a staff meeting at the Pentagon at 3:15.
Daddy, look in this window.
Yes, I haven't time, dear. Alma, I... Yes.
Just for a minute, Daddy, please.
Yes. Now, Cindy, I haven't time to stop and watch a bunch of 6-inch dolls parading around in the shop window. Say, they are lifelike, aren't they? Look at that, Alma. Dolls are marching around like a regular review. They've even got their own little band.
See the one in the red jacket, Daddy?
Yeah.
He's the leader. He's bowing to us.
Well, if they don't look human.
Henry, your staff meeting.
Oh, yes. Well, I got to run.
Can we buy one, Daddy?
Well, not now, dear, and I'll run along. Now, don't go spending a lot of money on that nonsense.
No, dear.
Bye. Bye, Cindy.
Bye, Daddy. Oh, look, Mommy, the band is going to play.
Aren't they wonderful, honey? Honey, I must have stood on this corner 1,000 times. I've never noticed this shop before.
Look at the man inside, Mommy. Who's he?
That's the proprietor, dear.
Doesn't he look funny with those red cheeks and white mustache?
It's easy to see who he models his dolls after.
Mommy, look, he's coming to the door. He's coming.
Good evening, children.
Good evening.
How funny he talks.
Hush, Cindy.
Would you like to step inside the shop of Santo Pirigi?
Well, yes, we would. But...
This way.
Mommy, it's like fairyland.
Here in the shop of Santo Pirigi, creator of Pirigi's universal wonderful dolls, the world of adult reality is blended with the world of child's fantasy.
This is a new shop, isn't it, Mr. Pirigi?
What is new and what is old? Come, this way. Would you like to meet one of my little ones?
Oh, yes.
Now, this one in the red jacket is Toto. He's the leader. Handle him ever so gently. See, I will set him on the table. Speak, little one.
How do you do? How do you do? How do you do?
Oh, my, he talks, the doll talks.
Amazing, absolutely amazing.
That is nothing for Pirigi's wonderful dolls. Listen, sing. Sing, Toto. Sing for the little girl.
My name is Toto.
Sing, Toto.
Men are big and tall. Dolls are very small. When men begin to fall, the dolls will rule them all.
more!
How do they work, Mr. Parigi?
How do they work? Ah, that is the secret of the great Parigi, greatest of all doll makers. To make an ordinary doll is nothing. To make a perfect replica, that is something. But to make a doll with intelligence, that is the work of an artist, eh?
I suppose that they're very expensive to buy.
But Parigi does not sell his dolls, madam.
You don't sell them?
When I construct a doll like Toto, I cannot bear to be permanently separated from him. So instead of selling, I rent my little people.
You do? You rent dolls?
Precisely. $10.
For how long?
For as long as they are cherished. My only request is that when you grow tired of my dolls, you return them to me in good condition.
Oh, Mommy, could we take him home?
Take him home! Take him home! Take him home!
Oh, look, he's bowing him, Daddy. He wants to
well,
come.
Well, honey, your father said that we shouldn't spend a lot of money.
Oh, please, I'll take such good care of it. Please.
Well, honey, we'll have to deal with your father later, but... Well...
Oh, Mommy!
All right, wrap him up, Mr. Parigi. But I have a feeling that when your father comes home, we'll be sorry.
Be sorry, be sorry, be sorry, be sorry.
Now, Toto, this is my room, and you're going to sleep right here next to my pillow. I wish you wouldn't laugh like that. I'm going to have to teach you some manners. And you be quiet because my daddy will be home soon. And he's a colonel in the Air Force staff. And he'll bust you to private if you don't behave. Come along now. I'm going to introduce you to my puppy dog, Mr. Blister. So be good. Here, Mr. Blister. Here, Blister. Come on. Mr. Blister, this is Toto. Oh, dear, I don't think Mr. Blister likes you, Toto. Come over here and shake hands with Toto, Mr. Blister. Come on now.
Mr. Blister! Let him go!
Let him go!
Let him go!
Kill him!
Mr. Blister,
come over here. Come over here. Sidney, what happened?
Mr. Blister tried to bite my doll. Look how frightened he is.
Oh, honey, dolls don't get frightened.
But he was frightened, Mommy. He screamed.
You imagined it, dear. It's only a doll.
He did. He did.
Well... Mr. Blister didn't mean it. Now, you know he's the gentlest little pup alive.
He is, and he's nasty, and I hate him.
Oh, now, see, you've hurt his feelings.
I don't care. He tried to bite my new doll, and I don't ever want to see him again, ever.
Oh, dear. All right, Mr. Blister, you come downstairs with me. Cindy's angry with you tonight.
I'll kill him.
Cindy, where did you learn a thing like that?
Toto said it.
Honey, you've had a very exciting day. Now, brush your teeth now and go to bed, hmm? Daddy's coming home late, so he'll see you in the morning. Good night, dear. Sleep well.
I hate him.
Hate him. Hate him. Hate him. Hate him.
Morning, Alma. Breakfast ready?
In a minute, dear. How was the staff meeting last night?
Oh, horrible bore, as usual. I don't know what's got into the old man. Just because a few farmers corroborated the pilot's report, he thinks some strange aircraft has penetrated our radar zone. Well, where's the little one?
Up in her room.
Now, that's funny. She's usually down here before me.
Well, she's probably up to something. Sit down, dear.
Say, remind me to take some papers back to the War Department, will you? I left them in my strong box.
You haven't been bringing your reports home, have you?
Well, it's safe enough.
Well, you told me it was against regulations to bring secret papers home.
Well, I had to finish some work for the old man, and nobody will ever know the difference.
Well, I don't know. Oh, would you feed the puppy before we sit down, Henry?
Yes.
His bowl's under the sink.
Where is he? Say, that's funny. Here's his supper from last night, only half eaten.
He's getting fussy. Doesn't like canned dog food anymore.
Here, Blister. Here, Blister, Blister, Blister. Well, where the dickens is that mutt?
Maybe he's on the back porch.
Here, Blister.
Alma.
What is it, dear?
Alma, look.
Henry, is he...
He's dead.
But how?
But from the looks of it, he might have been poisoned.
But who would do a thing like that to an innocent little puppy?
I don't know. Let me see his dish. Look at that. I don't understand this at all. Not at all.
What, dear? What is it?
There are pieces of broken glass in this food. Blue glass, you see?
How? Henry.
What?
I just remembered something.
What?
It may be coincidence, but... In the bathroom this morning.
Well, what about the bathroom?
Oh, Cindy's blue glass, the one with the Mickey Mouse on it, was broken. I found pieces in the wastebasket. I meant to ask her about it.
Alma, for heaven's sake, you aren't suggesting that our little girl... Well, she loved Blister more than anyone.
Not last night, she didn't.
Why not?
He went after Toto.
Now, who is Toto?
That's her new doll.
Her what?
Honey, I was meaning to tell you.
But you bought her one of those dolls,
huh? I just rented it.
Well, rented it. Now, look here, Alma. You know we haven't got the kind of money to throw away.
Well, she had her heart set on it, dear. I used my dividend.
All right. But what happened with Blister?
Well, he went for the doll, and Cindy said she hated him.
Oh, well, a child.
She said she'd kill him.
Where'd she get a thought like that?
I don't know.
Has she been watching those chillers on television?
I don't know.
Well, it's too ridiculous. Good heavens, a 9-year-old child putting ground glass in dog food. She'd have to be a monster.
She's coming.
Well, don't say anything. I'll talk to her.
Morning, dear.
Morning, Mommy.
Morning, Daddy. What's the matter?
Sit down, dear.
Yes, sir.
Oh, your mother tells me you broke your blue drinking glass.
Oh, no, I didn't break it.
Cindy.
I didn't.
Well, now, somebody broke it. It wasn't your mother, and it wasn't me.
It must have been Toto.
Cynthia.
Cindy, you know Toto is only a doll. Now, a doll couldn't have broken your glass, could he? Well?
I guess not.
So we can't very well blame it on a doll, then, can we?
But he must have done it, Daddy.
Cindy, you know how Daddy feels about little girls who tell fibs. Now, did you break your glass and maybe accidentally get some pieces into Mr. Blister's dish to sort of punish him for biting your doll?
No, Daddy.
Well, I'd hate to think you'd done something you knew was wrong and you were blaming it on a doll.
Is something wrong with Mr. Blister? Is he sick?
Worse than that.
Henry.
The child has to face reality, Alma.
What's the matter with Mr. Blister?
He's dead, Cindy.
Oh, no. We can't be dead. He isn't dead, Daddy. No, he isn't. He isn't. Mommy.
Honey, he is dead, Cindy.
But he'll come back. He has to come back.
No, darling, he won't come back.
Ever?
Not ever.
Yes. Now that we've told you, Cindy, do you want to change your mind about the glass?
Henry, leave her alone, please.
You think I killed him?
Now look what you've done. The child feels guilty enough,
my
Henry.
My dear, this is no time for feelings to interfere.
You go up to your room, honey. Daddy and I'll be up in a minute.
I don't want to.
Please, Cindy. Now we'll be right up, please. There. That's a good girl. Close the kitchen door behind you.
Mr. Blister's dead. He isn't coming back. Ever. Ever. Daddy thinks it was me, but... It was you! It was you!
Eat your supper, dear.
I'm not hungry.
You scarcely touched your lunch.
I don't feel like eating.
Is it Mr. Blister?
Now, answer your mother.
She'll work it out her own way, Henry.
No, I don't know, Alma. When I was a boy, there was such a thing as discipline. Now, the way this child is being brought up...
Henry!
Well, it's true. There's no respect, lying and...
Oh, there, honey. Now, your father's upset. He doesn't mean
it. What's happened to us? We were a nice, peaceful, happy family until you bought that cursed doll.
Now who's blaming things on the doll?
Well, it's true. Now I've spilled my coffee.
I'll get you another cup.
Never mind. I'm late now. I better be going.
Oh, you wanted to get some papers from the strong box.
Oh, yes.
Cindy, please, try to eat something.
Yes, ma'am.
Alma! Alma!
What is it?
Alma, it's gone.
What that's gone.
The box, the strong box is gone.
It can't be. The door to your study's always locked. You and I have the only keys.
I know all that, and I tell you it isn't there.
Well, who would go?
I don't know. Alma, those confidential reports, if they ever got into the wrong
hands. I warned you about keeping them there.
What if it ever came out in the open? Can't you see the papers?
Call the police, Henry.
And throw my army career in a wastebasket after 17 years? No. We've got to find it ourselves.
Well, it was there when I went in to clean this morning.
What about your key?
It's right here. I always keep it with me. It's funny.
Oh, no.
My other keys are on the ring.
Oh, you've lost it.
I don't see how.
Alma, how could you do
it? Oh, Henry, please.
We'll search the house. I can't think of anything else to do.
Well, you'll miss the staff meeting.
Meeting? My whole career goes up in smoke if we don't find those reports. Somebody got hold of your key and opened that room and... I know. Cindy.
You leave the child alone. She's been through enough. You know she wouldn't do a thing like that.
I don't know anything anymore. I don't even know my own child. I don't even know you. All I know is that strong box is gone and it contains papers that are dynamite if the wrong person gets them. The question being who? What's that?
It's coming from upstairs. It must be Cindy's doll.
Oh, that blasted doll again.
Something must have set it off. I don't know how the mechanism works.
For heaven's sakes, let's go up and shut it off.
Henry.
Ever since you...
Henry.
What?
Look.
Where, what?
Around the doll's neck, the key. The key to your study.
You see, Alma, it was Cindy after all.
I don't believe
it. Well, good heavens, do you have to have it spelled out for you? Here's our doll with a key around its neck.
She wouldn't, Henry. You know she wouldn't.
Oh, ever since you got this fool doll, she's been acting half insane. At first the dog and now this... I think she hates herself.
Henry, Cindy is my child. I know her. I know she's a good, sensitive person with no malice in her.
You're simply refusing to face the facts, my dear.
What are you going to do?
I'm going downstairs and have a talk with that young lady. You're not telling the truth, Cindy.
I am. I am.
Cindy, now you know that strong box is very important to me. Now, I can understand that you might have been angry at me because I scolded you. And so you took it and hid it, just to spite me. Now, all I ask is for you to tell me the truth. Now, where is it?
I didn't take it, Daddy. Honest, I didn't take it.
Well, I suppose you're going to tell me now that a little 6-inch doll took it and hid it. Well... I'm speaking to you, young lady.
But I didn't take it, Daddy. You don't understand. Toto did it. He's terrible, awful. He says things. He's going to kill everybody.
Cindy, you're inventing things.
It's true. At night when I'm sleeping, he stands next to my pillow and whispers things to me. Awful things. He told me he'd kill me, too, if I scold,
Alma,
if I told you.
I think this child is sick. I think she needs a doctor.
She's frightened, Henry. She's trembling like a leaf. Come on, dear. We'll go up to your room.
I don't want to go up there.
Honey, Mommy will stay with you.
I'm afraid he's up there.
Who?
Toto.
Well, he won't be up there for long. Mr. Toto is going right back to Pirigi's wonderful doll shop before I lose my sanity, which means right now.
Grayson, welcome to the home of Pirigi's wonderful doll.
Are you Pirigi?
Santor Pirigi, creator of the universal doll, the doll with a mind, the doll which...
I'm returning one of your masterpieces.
Oh? If you will step into the rear of my shop. Now the complaint.
No complaint. Here's your doll. Good riddance.
My little Toto. Rejected. You found the world of men too filled with hate.
Hate, 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 hate!
We will change all that later on. Return to your comrades in the window, little one. And now, Colonel Grayson.
I think we have no further business.
Ah, but we do, Colonel. Let me see. Ah, yes, here it is. Do you recognize this strong box, Colonel?
My Strong box? Well, where?
My little Toto is very clever, sir.
Are you trying to tell me your doll stole that from me?
Let us not say stole. I am merely keeping it in custody.
What's the game, Pirigi?
The game, as you call it, is blackmail. You give me what I want, and I do not ruin your career.
What do you want?
Information. We already know something from the reports of the War Department concerning a certain strange-looking sphere reported by one of your pilots.
What government do you represent?
I represent Pirigi's wonderful dolls, none other.
I am not so naive, sir.
Perhaps I should explain. Each man hides something from the world. Each man loves something more than life. With the help of my wonderful dolls, I obtain personal information which enables me to control the men who control the world.
You're a madman.
A genius. You would be surprised at the list of men who have become the confidants for my dolls.
Do you think you can blackmail me into betraying my country?
If the price is right. And in this case, sir, the price is your career and the lives of your wife and child.
Why are you so interested in the flying sphere?
Let us say for reasons of my own. Well, Colonel?
Hand over the strongbox.
I warn you, I have a gun.
Give it to me.
You are being foolish. Put down that walking stick.
Now?
No closer.
Now? Hello? Give me the police. Hello? Yes, this is Colonel Henry Grayson. I've just killed a man. Yes, Parigi's doll shop, corner of 4th and Lexington. The body is in the back room. Yes, I'll wait for you. Shut up. Shut up, you little fiend.
Colonel Grayson.
Did I hear it speak?
Colonel Henry Grayson.
I must be going out of my mind, a 6-inch doll. Shut up! Your master's dead!
You are mistaken, Colonel. I, Toto, am the master.
What do you mean?
If you will examine the body of Santor Parigi, you will see that he does not bleed. And he does not bleed, Colonel, because Santor Parigi never lived.
Never lived?
Santor Parigi is a doll.
A doll? But that's impossible. He's a man. He talks, he walks.
The people of Meritrix are skillful doll builders.
People of Meritrix, doll builders? Look, who are you?
I am Xanthus Imperator, commander of the legions of the third planetoid, Meritrix.
Legions? Planetoid?
My people and I, whom you regard as dolls, come from a tiny planet beyond the moon, so small that it cannot support our population. We landed one of our space spheres on Earth 3 months ago with the intention of colonizing. Unfortunately, one of your pilots intercepted us.
So that's why you wanted our information.
Precisely.
Are you human?
Oh, quite human. Of course. In order to deal with Earth people without suspicion, we were forced to construct Parigi, a man-sized doll. Oh,
well, I can't believe this. I'm having hallucinations. I'm going to get out of here.
Oh, that would be impossible. We have weapons of destruction quite unknown to Earth people.
Well, I phoned the police, and they'll be here soon.
By the time they arrive, my people will have prepared something quite shocking.
Cover him, Ryan.
Okay, Sarge.
You the guy who turned in the call?
Yes.
Where's the body?
Well, it isn't exactly a body.
What do you mean?
It's a doll.
A what?
Well, you've got to let me explain. Now, this sounds fantastic, but I've stumbled onto an unbelievable plot to control the world.
Keep talking.
Now, these little dolls, they aren't really dolls. They're tiny people. There's a big doll named Santo Parigi, and he runs this shop.
Holy smokes.
He's off his trolley, Sarge.
Listen, mister, we got a call that there was a murder here. Now, if there was one, where's the body?
Behind those curtains in the back. Only, it isn't really a body, you see.
What?
I hear something back there, Sarge.
All right, cover those curtains. You, is anyone back there? Come on out. Come out or we'll come in and get you.
Something's coming. The curtain's opening.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Luigi. Well, this is impossible. I smashed his skull.
You know this guy?
Yes, that's the one. That's the doll.
What's your name, mister?
Luigi. Santo Parigi, creator of the Universal Doll.
You ever see this man?
Never until just now.
Well, he's lying. I tell you, he's nothing but a life-size doll. The real masters are these little dolls.
Ryan, are you getting this?
He's wacko, Sarge. Nutty as a fruitcake.
Look, I'm not crazy, I tell you. I can prove it. They must have fixed up his head when I smashed it in. Touch him, you'll see.
Mr. Parigi, you know what the guy is talking about.
The man is demented, obviously.
No, look, I tell you, there's a plot to control the Earth. Listen, you've got to let me call the War Department. They'll want to know about the flying sphere.
Holy mackerel, this gets worse every minute. Ryan.
Take him to headquarters?
Save some time. Take him down to the psycho ward.
Okay, Buck Rogers. Now, look, I'm along nice look, and quiet
look, you've got to listen to me. Don't you see the future of mankind is at stake?
Sure. I know how it is.
Look, he's nothing but a man-sized doll. Touch him.
And the little ones are going to take over the Earth. I know. I had the DTs once. Okay, Sarge. Oh, we'll see you later.
Please.
Come along.
Please, listen to me. You've got to listen to me.
Sorry to cause all this trouble, Mr. Parigi.
Not at all, sir. Not at all.
Well, I'll be. That ain't the cutest little doll. Say, my little girl will be nuts for that.
But perhaps you will accept it as a gift.
Well, now,
for saving my life. That madman might have killed me. No home is really complete without one of Pirici's wonderful dolls, Sergeant. Is that right, Toto?
Yes, but I
would like in some way to show my gratitude. You will be doing me a favor if you will take the doll home to your little daughter.
Say, this ought to make her the happiest girl in the world.
Yes, Toto will come as a great surprise. A very great surprise. Won't it, Toto?
Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you Parigi's Wonderful Dolls, written by George Lefferts. Heard in the cast were Janet Alexander as Cindy, Ann Petoniak as Alma, Nelson Olmsted as Henry, Joe DeSantis as Parigi, Michael O'Day as Toto, Ken Lynch as the Sergeant, and Frank Milano as Ryan. This is Fred Collins speaking. X-1 was directed by Fred Way and is an NBC Radio Network production.
Tonight's story concludes the present series of stories of the world of the future. If you'd like to hear X-1 return to the air at some later date, please drop us a postcard or letter addressed to X-1.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.